friends, and welcome back to Like Anime, your local internet source for those juicy anime opinions. My name is George, and joined with me is Tony.
I don't know about this local thing. Why do you keep saying that?
We're your friends, you know? We're like your neighbors. Those are my neighbors that watch anime down the internet street I live on.
Tonari no internet. I don't know.
Tonari? We're not talking about To Your Eternity quite yet.
No, Tonari, neighbor.
Oh, that's neighbor?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the name of a new character in To Your Eternity.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I didn't know what it meant.
I did notice that. Yeah. My neighbor Totoro, Tonari no Totoro. My neighbor's the Yamadas.
Oh, you think I would know this? I love that movie. Anyway, we are back, and we had a couple weeks off, and we're back this week. And we have a format change. We're trying to make things more interesting, more exciting for us to record and for you to listen to. We'll see how it goes. But in this week, we are doing, or in this episode, we're doing a new thing that I've called This Week in Anime.
And This Week in Anime! That'll sound really good with reverb.
Yeah, I'll get right on that. That'd be cool. I'll try it. The basic idea is just kind of have some brief opinions, thoughts about recent anime. And then
I got opinions, but not a lot of thoughts.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see how that shakes out.
I'll do my best.
Fill in those gaps. But the idea is that we'll spotlight one or two shows, depending, either new stuff or other stuff we're covering in a third episode of the week. But the second episode, this one, will just kind of be our brief thoughts on some current running stuff. And it's a little more exciting. We got more to talk about because we missed a couple weeks. And so we got some shows we haven't even talked about at all yet. Mm. And some others that, which was nice, since we had some time off, it was kind of nice to have like a couple episodes to watch and, you know.
Yeah.
It's nicer to have a little more content to talk about.
Dig into it a little bit.
Yeah. And with some of these, some heavy, dark and or... just interesting things to discuss. So I'll let you know if you're interested in hearing us talk about Sunny Boy or Peach Boy Riverside. Those are our spotlight shows this season, or not this week rather, and they'll be in our third episode, which will come out a couple days from now,
Sunday ish
yeah,
depending on what part of the world you're in.
Yeah, so Sunday we'll kind of dig into those. Sunny Boy, I am enjoying. I'm caught up on. I think Tony's only seen the first episode so far. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to dig into that. And then Peach Boy Riverside is something I've dropped that Tony wants to talk more in depth about. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts
Well, you'll have to wait until Sunday, George.
Dang it. And that was my doing. But anyway, without further ado, let's jump in here.
If I remember right, I'm supposed to start talking about Aquatope on the White Sand.
Yes.
All right. Well, so this is a new one. We got episodes 1 through 3 that we will have watched over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You're watching this as well. So you've seen those, I believe, right?
Yep. Yep. I'm caught up.
All right. Well, in the episode that we lost, I gave sort of a brief recap of the episode, which was that, you know, there's this idol whose name is Fuku, and she decides to leave her idol group, and rather than go home, she decides to go to Okinawa, and she ends up in a foundering aquarium, and then there's also some kind of magical shit happening.
Yes.
And she meets our other main girl, whose name is Kukuru, who runs the aquarium and basically asks her for a job, says, I want to stay here. I want to help you. And, they agree. And then, yeah. So in the second episode, it's mainly sort of like, they're just sort of doing the work of running an aquarium, I guess, basically. And like Fuku is learning, and Kukuru is sort of, she seems almost bipolar in this episode to me, because she's like, she's really happy one second, and then like, she's really like serious business girl the next second.
Yeah. And, we get this weird inkling that she cares very deeply about the aquarium and the animals. And it kind of goes a little too far, maybe, like kind of reams Fuka for kind of messing up when she's trying to feed the penguins her first time.
Fuka? Fuku.
I'm pretty sure it's Fuka, but...
Is it?
Because Kukuru, but I'm pretty sure it's Fuka.
Yeah, now I gotta look it up.
Well, while you look it up, I guess I can...
Yeah, why don't you give your impressions of the first two episodes?
Yeah, I thought the characterizations... Like, the first episode set up these two characters, and it did a decent job, although it was pretty simple. But these... I guess we're not getting to the third episode yet, but...
Oh, you can if you want.
Okay. But the subsequent episodes have done a good job, I think, in further cementing these character types. We get more backstory into Kukuru. You know, her parents are no longer with us, and she has a lot of herself invested in the aquarium. And we kind of learn, like, how dire it is this summer. Like, and I like this. This show's coming out in summer. And the show, the context of the show, we have the summer to save the aquarium. It's yeah. in kind of a dire financial rescue.
Yeah. And now that Kukuru has enlisted the help of Fuka.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wrote it down wrong or something. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, her name is Fuka.
Sweet.
It seems like maybe there's a chance for them to save the aquarium. And then we're just sort of like... You know, we're existing in this world, and we're sort of getting introduced to the characters slowly, like they're sort of slowly bit by bit introducing their own
yeah.
quirks and personalities to us and stuff like that. And it's, you know, it's like a slow moving sort of show. But yeah, it's, I think like by the third episode, I was just like, I love the pacing of this show. You know, it's just sort of letting things develop without pushing anything too hard. And
yeah,
it just feels good. Yeah.
I think from the, I agree. I totally agree. And from the first episode, I thought, oh, these characters, like, they're kind of simply written. But by the third episode, the way they're unfolding and the way we're learning about them seems very natural. And it seems like they know what they're doing. They know where they're going. And I'm strapped in like this. By the third episode, I was like, this is a evergreen. Like it's not getting dropped.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is 24, right? Yeah. So
yeah.
It's going to be pushing into the next season cool. as well. But it's this is an original as well, right?
Yeah. I was going to say that, which adds to the appeal to me, because it's like they got to have a roadmap. They got to know what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
Yeah. I'm just watching like the previews and stuff. It looked like it was sort of a girls being friends sort of thing, but like it feels like it has some more depth to it than that.
Yeah. I mentioned this, I think we might have lost that episode, but one thing that bothers me, which is kind of a thing in a lot of slice of life, not all of them, but it's just a color thing or a design style. Their knees, they're red and shiny, and it bothers me. I don't know. It looks like they're always like, they always just like skid, you know, they got skid marks on their knees, or like they scrape their knees or something. I don't know. It's a very minor complaint, but it goes to show like how good it's doing thus far. That's the only thing I have to complain about.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, these are supposed to be short takes, so I think we've already talked about this for longer than we're supposed to.
Yeah, let's go to the next. We're still getting used to this brevity thing. But second, we're going to talk about another show we're both into. And I guess just to add, I didn't say this at the start, but a new thing we're doing is we're starting with the shows we want to talk about the most. And so that's why we might go a little longer. We're trying to keep them brief. But Kageki Shoujo is another show this season we're both watching, and... I'm enjoying it. I can't say, I think we're like four episodes in at this point of this one, but
yeah.
I can't say that I'm as sold on it as I am Aquatope, but I am definitely going to continue watching it. But
what do these two shows have in common, George?
Yes, they both feature main characters that are ex idols.
Yes.
And focus mainly on how they're dealing with that, how they're and they're differently, they're framed differently, but yeah, it's very much about
very different,
like,
stories,
you know, their past of it being an ex-idol is hanging there, and they have to address it in some way, some fashion.
Yeah, and they're both like offset by sort of this sweet innocent naive sort of character, I guess, right?
Yeah that's true. And yeah, and it's interesting, two female leads, and there's a lot of similarities, but where they differ is, I got to talk about this third episode of Kageki Shoujo, which we talked about the first episode already in a previous episode, but trigger warning.
Yeah, that's it says that in my notes.
There is a very, very uncomfortable scene in that episode that pertains to the main character, Ai, who has blue hair and is an ex-idol that's part of this theater troupe, this all-female theater troupe. Mm. And it explains why she... It's something they had to address, but it explains why she has such an aversion to men and how dysfunctional her childhood was and how kind of alone she is, even though she technically has a mom. Her dad's out of the picture. I don't want to get too deep into it, but it was very hard to watch, very visceral, and it didn't really even show that much, but they did a really good job at portraying like how uncomfortable it was.
Yeah, it's implied hard enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some bad touch, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can, when they're doing the backstory, you can tell very early on where it's going, and so your mind kind of runs with it, and it doesn't go as dark as you think it might. But just the brooding atmosphere of it is just a lot. Like
it hits all the notes along the way, other than,
Yeah. And I think it was really well done, but while watching that scene, I was like, I don't know if I want to watch this show. Like, not because it's bad, but this is a lot. So I could see someone... Yeah.
It's pretty heavy.
Yeah. And it kind of needs to be, because this main character, as is addressed in the fourth episode, she has a lot of trauma from this, and it kind of pertains to how she interacts with men at large.
I wouldn't know. I haven't seen the fourth episode.
Oh, okay. Well, good. We're keeping it brief here.
But yeah, really the only notes I have is episode two focused on Sarasa a lot, which is our sort of naive, happy girl.
Yeah.
And then episode three was all about Ai. And then I look forward to seeing where it goes from there. I'm sorry that I didn't make it to the fourth episode.
No problem at all. There's no judgment here, Tony. This is a free space, open space. I look forward to talking about that with you when you do see it. There's another in that third episode though, there I just want to mention there's a scene with this teddy bear, her like pulling out the stuffing, and on paper it doesn't sound that bad, but in context of everything that happens in there, like, is gut-wrenching. Like it's very uncomfortable, and but it's really well done. Like, I remember after the second episode we were like, are they going to address Ai and all this, or is it going to be more about Sarasa? But no, it's about the two of them, and it's not it's pulling its punches. So
yeah, the teddy bear thing, and then her uncle shows up, and like just from seeing the scene of the disemboweled teddy bear, he sort of is like, something's going on, I need to be worried about, I think.
And yeah.
And he is the only male that she's really comfortable with.
Yeah.
And he also happens to work at the school, right?
Yeah, which I think is the reason she's there.
Is it actually her uncle, or she just call him G-san? I don't know.
I think it is, but maybe it's just like a family friend. But they also show that like when she chose to be an idol, the reason was because as it was pitched to her, it's like you're working with women and you'll also be closer to Narita is his name, which her uncle or whatever, familial uncle. And so that's why she chose to do it, not thinking that she would have mainly male fans. But now she's joined this theater troupe because she's also working with women, and there are some male teachers, but the fans are females. So she's like, and he's a teacher at this theater troupe too, which is, it's like, well, I could have made that connection earlier, but...
I assume, based on the way the third episode ended, I assume they further address her idol fan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I assume in the fourth episode. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, actually, my notes are that I wrote were those two episodes like, coupled together. They kind of very closely related as far as that. But yeah, it's a good show, and it's not afraid to go to a dark place, but justifiably with the story it's telling. So
yeah, it's pretty solid. I have this one at a six. I guess I didn't say for Aquatope it was a six, and it got promoted to a seven with the most recent, the third episode.
Nice.
But this one's still cruising at a six. I haven't seen the fourth episode yet. That might push it up. I don't know. But yeah, the third episode was very strong drama.
Yeah.
Indicating the way things are going to go for the rest of the season. I think hopefully the drama keeps up.
Yeah, I think it will. I have Aquatope and Kageki sitting at a seven, both of them. but we'll see. I also will add there's four shows this season that are just like eye candy to me, and Aquatope and this are two of them. This Kageki, like they both, but Kageki looks really good. Like it's, the background animation to the character art, like it's a nice looking show.
Yeah, Aquatope is more standard animation style. Kageki Shoujo has like a stylized presentation, I think, art-wise, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
most of the frames are like, there's a lot of care put into them, I feel. But yeah, moving on, we're going to talk about, or you're going to tell me about Drugstore in Another World, The Slow Life of a Cheat Pharmacist.
Yeah, so this one is going to be really short, but like, I'm enjoying this show, but it's just pure fluff. It's nothing but fluff. You watched the first episode of this, I think, right?
I did. I gave it a shot and it just wasn't for me.
Yeah, and it is. It's just fluff, just like Slime 300 was. What's the name of it? I've been killing slimes for 300 years and accidentally
maxed out my level. Yeah.
from last season, which is just pure fluff, right? This one's the same thing. Like, there's things that happen in each episode that don't really matter, nothing that's going to carry forward or anything. It's just, they're fun characters and they're fine. What we talked about in the Lost episode is that we just sort of jump into this one. We don't get the standard isekai introduction where we see him in the original world and he gets pulled into this isekai world. We pick up from him having been here for months, probably, right? Mm-hmm.
He's already established.
It seems like he's been here for quite a long time. And we don't really know what his background is because we don't see him in the world before he came here. But it's indicated that he was in a different world and got pulled into this world somehow. And he's become basically an herbalist, and he's really good at mixing together herbs and making things that make people happy. Mm. It's just fluff. It's fun. It's fun fluff. If you like fluff, it's fluffy.
Nice. Fun fluffiness.
Furu furu.
Right on. Well, that's cool. That's good to know. It's not going too like pervy or anything. It's just more happy, fluffy, fun time.
No, I'm trying to think of anything pervy at all that's really happened in it. Not really anything, yeah.
Okay.
There are other shows that have a little bit more. We'll get to those later.
We shall. And speaking of moving on, let's let us get to a show we both watched and have divergent opinions on. It is the Itaten Deities Only Know Peace. Mm. Tony's been texting me for the past couple of days, like, you know, just crapping on the show and reaming me for not dropping it. And so now it is my turn to defend it in as little way possible as I can. But yeah, I don't even know if I took notes on this, to be honest. But this is a shonen show, and this is also another one of my eye candy shows. Despite anything else that's going on in it, it is so colorful. The shading is very dynamic, and I just love the way it looks. It's like this little like kaleidoscope of color. It's so cool. Story wise, it hasn't really like hooked me yet. There's a couple of the characters I like, and the whole idea is that you have these 800 years ago, these demons were sealed away by these Itaten deities. And they all had to sacrifice themselves to form the seal, but they left behind this one girl, and so she's still existing. They're kind of immortal, and she's now like training these other deities in case the demons come back. And it's a lot of like goofy like training sequences and just battling and stuff. And then there's this whole aspect of basically they are coming to a, I don't know. You watched the second episode, right?
Yeah.
So
Speaking of which, both episodes, like episode one and episode two, came out on the same day. They did like a double episode release,
which was
probably because they knew it was a horrible show, and that was the only way to get people to watch two episodes.
It's so funny because on my original list, when I writing all these shows and like when they're coming out, Itaten was July 27th is where I got from my anime, not my anime list, from Live Chart.
Oh.
But then that definitely changed because we got two episodes before that. It's now the 27th.
Yeah.
So that was kind of strange. I don't know what happened there. So yeah, we had two episodes. And then the part very contentious part that I did not enjoy. But the first episode, another trigger warning, but the first episode ends with a rape scene. By comparison to Kageki Shoujo's uncomfortable scene, like, it was not treated with as much care. It was almost like stylistically like cool. And it did bother me, and I know that's something that bothered you as well. But then in the second episode, they essentially established that how dark the world is, and these humans are, you know, whenever the humans are like praying for a savior to come, praying to their god, if enough of them are doing it in a, you know, an area, it creates like this sort of reaction where these Editan deities are born through however in a rift of in space and time. I don't get it, but there's a scene in the second episode where the deities are talking about that, and they're like, well, you know, we don't really care about the human struggles, but if a demon shows up, you know, we're essentially saving them from it, but we're not saving them from killing each other, you know. We don't really care, like, we're separate from that, and we're kind of immortal and whatnot. I don't know if that's interesting enough to keep me going like indefinitely, but it's kind of, I'm in a three episode thing, like, you know, I gotta see you know where it's going. I don't know, I like looking at it enough, and I feel like the whole rape scene that they, which is very uncomfortable, but in a very different way because it was so like stylized and like not really giving it the weight that it deserves. But I'm curious where they're going with it morally. If they're going to stick to that sort of like juxtaposition of, it's basically like a framing thing of like, you know, your petty human struggles compared to the vastness of time and whatnot. It might just abandon all that, but yeah. What did you think of this?
Such edginess, much blood.
It is definitely an edgelord. So it's a show for Doge.
Yeah, I'm starting a new segment called Doge Reviews. And this is the first one. So like art style wise, the art is, it's unique. In watching it, it at some point I sort of realized like it really is just, they've really done high contrast and high saturation on everything and occasionally color things weirdly. And that's the extent of the uniqueness of the art style. Other than that, the art style doesn't really look that different. It's just, yeah, they really push the saturation and the contrast. But yeah, it seems like something teenage boys would love. So if you're a teenage boy listening, check this show out. You'll probably love it. Yeah, I watched both episodes, but the second episode was just like not that interesting, I guess. Mm. Like I see the things you're talking about story wise with like where did the Editan come from? Editan come from. And I guess that's somewhat interesting, but not interesting enough. The whole nun rape thing reminded me of, oh, what is the name of that show? Goblin Slayer or something?
Oh, yeah. I remember hearing about that, but I never saw it.
Where like, it was just like, oh, we're going to feature a goblin raping a girl in the first episode. It's going to be so edgy. Everyone's going to love this show. And yeah, well, let's rape a nun in this show then to make it. And then in the second episode, you know, the commander is sort of telling the troops, what do you want to do? And they're like, we want to rape and pillage. And she's like, who do you want to rape? And they all start shouting things. And she doesn't say that, I guess. But yeah, I just remember one of them shouts Shoten, which is young boys. So one of the guys wants to rape young boys. And she's like, go for it.
Get it.
Do it.
Get it, son.
Rape them young boys. Yeah, so trash.
Fair enough. I mean, I could be wrong. I often am. But I'm just curious where it's going. And basically where it's going in the sense of what it's trying to say about, 'cause it's got a lot of like socio-political stuff, even though it's doing broad strokes with that kind of thing. But I'm just curious if it's just using it as a backdrop to be edgy, like you're saying, or if there's actually something it's trying to say or do. Like,
that's my impression. It's not trying to say anything. It's just trying to,
yeah,
excite young boys.
That could be, but I'm gonna stick around a little bit longer, and you know, I'm gonna venture into that darkness to see that edgy darkness.
I would say enjoy, but I know you won't.
We shall see. But moving on. That's enough about that show. We got a little show Tony's going to tell us about called Remake Our Life.
Ah, Remake Our Life. All right. Yeah. So this one, like, I wasn't sure based on the previews, like what it was going to be. Seemed like, you know, I mean, there's been a lot of those like redo your life sort of things. This one was unique in the fact that he's going back to start college, basically.
Yeah.
And then which one? Oh, so this is episode 2 through 4. So we covered episode 1 in our first episode or our first week of the season. But yeah, he goes back and he's going to go to art school, which is something he's always sort of regretted not having done. He decided to go to a standard school. I covered all of this before.
Yeah.
And now it's just sort of like the nuts and bolts of him going to art school, which is, you know, there's like some film-based things that they're working on. And I am a graduate of film school. And most of the people that I know, in fact, are graduates of film school because that's where all my friends came from in this part of my life anyway.
Yeah.
George is friends with a lot of the same people, but George did not go to that film school with me.
Did not.
But they have a lot of stuff that's film related, them shooting films and things like that. And it just sort of speaks to me on that level.
Nice.
It gets a little bit tedious in places where everyone's always praising the main character for like how good he is at stuff. Basically just how good he is at making decisions, which turn out to be the right decision because he's the main character and you know, how else is it going to go? Right. but yeah, there's a lot of like praising him and there's some haremish, like, oh, which girl is he going to end up with? Because there's a lot of girls in this, but there's a lot of guys too. So it's not like a full harem thing, but you know, it's one of those, romance stories that, there's multiple possibilities for who he's going to end up with.
Okay.
So all of the shippers out there are probably loving it because they've all got their ship and they're,
do you have a ship?
No, not at this point, trying to think like
it's hard when you know what they're doing of like not committing yet, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's one that's probably the most obvious. One of his schoolmates is, someone that he knows from when he was an adult and working in the world.
Oh.
He actually worked for her. She was his boss for a while.
Okay.
She's probably the one that I ship the most, I guess.
So he knows that he eventually meets her
yeah.
in a previous life, but she doesn't know him.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's not necessarily going to meet her or work for her in the future now because he's completely changed his life,
yeah.
right? By,
essentially
by going
matters
to
sooner.
Art school. Yeah, basically. And the other girls are just, you know, like they all have their little quirks and flaws and stuff. And he's very understanding and supportive of them. And, you know, that's fine. I don't know. I don't know what to, it's enjoyable to watch. Yeah, that's about it. I enjoy watching it, and like the film school stuff, the art school stuff, sort of hits me on a deeper level than it would other people that didn't attend such a school, I suppose. It's interesting in that aspect, but I think it's an interesting enough show overall. Yeah, I think it's good. I like it.
Nice. I'm I don't know, mildly interested. I doesn't sound as boring as I thought it might be.
You didn't watch any of this one, right?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. This one you thought was going to possibly be a harem-y thing, I think, right?
Yeah.
It looked like it could have been.
Just without like dorm, you know, and all the girls. Yeah. And it sounds like it's not doing that necessarily, but it's doing like the will they, won't they with a bunch of different.
It is, yeah. For sure doing that.
Suitors.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's fine.
But he has male friends too, and you know,
like
supports them as well. And you know, like he's just sort of the support guy. He supports everyone and everything. Yeah. And because he has, you know, whatever, 10 years more experience in life than any of them do, he's always got the right answer, which is a little annoying, but you know, to be expected in this kind of show, I think.
Sounds more tolerable than a realist hero, like just knowing everything.
Well, I mean, realist hero, at least I guess they're both explained in the same way, because in realist hero, they explain that like that was his, before he got pulled into the world, like that was his thing that he wanted to do. He wanted to be an economist. So it totally makes sense, but that's not a good show. Don't watch that.
All right. What do you give Remake?
Oh, I'm at 6 of 10 on this one.
Six.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that brings us to the next show, which is My Hero Academia.
I think I've seen that show.
So we had two episodes we haven't talked about. The first one is sort of, it's like a double beach episode, how I look at it.
There's three episodes because the one that we did talk about before got erased.
Three?
Yeah, episodes 15, 16, and 17, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, the episode that you're not remembering, Endeavor decides that he's going to actually properly train all three boys, not just focus on his own son, because that's what he said he was going to do. And then,
That's kind of it, right?
That's basically it, yeah.
Okay. I guess that's why I'm glossing over it.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot to it.
But in the one after that, we get a break from what's going on with Endeavor and those guys, and we get to see what Froppy and...
Uraraka.
Yeah, Uraraka, Achako, whatever. And Uravati. Froppy, Uravati, and... God, I thought I wrote this down, that other girl's name. I always forget her dang name. She has the blue hair.
Yeah, I don't remember
her name.
I don't
think she's in 1A. She's in the other class or something. But anyway, they're working with the other girl that has, like, dragon wings on her hair or whatever.
Dragon girl, yeah.
Yeah. And they get called to do this mission that's a naval, it's at sea, and there's these bad guys trying to steal this new drug, and they gotta first have a beach episode and then get the drugs back and then have another beach episode.
Yeah, so this is absolute anime filler.
Yeah. But we like Froppy, and we like Uraraka.
I actually, as a standalone episode, this is actually pretty good. Like, yeah, as just by itself. It does nothing to advance the plot of any of the things that we care about from what's going on in the season, because it is filler. It's 100% filler. But yeah, we get to see Uraraka kind of be a badass and Froppy be a badass. And yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, it's cool. That's cool.
And we get to see them all in their swimsuits. You guys, beach episode.
I know there's the one seal guy who, like, is like part seal.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah, he's like, why are we at the beach and partying when we have these bad guys? Like, oh, I thought they should unwind. And I thought there was going to be some gag about, like, you know, watching them in their bathing suits, but they didn't go that round. Because I was like, clearly you're just sitting there watching them in their bathing suits.
Oh. I was like, we did see them in their bathing suits, but you meant him watching them.
Yeah, because the dragon girl and he are kind of talking about, like, why are we doing this? And he's like, well,
no, he's not a perv. He's just genuinely wants them to just unwind and have a nice day at the beach before they have to go and fight the bad guys that are trying to steal some drugs or whatever they were doing.
And don't worry, we'll have another nice day at the beach after.
Yeah.
So if you like beach episodes, they really pack it in.
Yeah. So that's the filler episode. Again, it's as a standalone episode. Fine. Does nothing for the plot.
The next episode was kind of nice. I liked it. It picked up basically advancing the plot with Endeavor's relationship to his family. We have a scene where his daughter basically eggs him on to invite over all the, you know, the guys he's training.
Shoto and Midoriya and Bakugo. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. To come over for a family dinner, and it's awkward, as you would expect. And but then it's funny too. Like, I really laughed when they all sit down to eat, and Deku or Midoriya starts eating, and he's like, he's just like going on and on about the food in like great detail, and Bakugo like snaps at him, like, "Don't analyze the food too. Like, you're already doing that during battles.
And bad enough you do that all." Yeah,
that was genuinely funny.
Yeah, it was amusing. Yeah, we get a bit of proper drama in this. Like, there's some proper dramatic stuff going on. My big complaint about this episode is that probably about a quarter of it is just recap.
Yeah.
Because we're recapping all the stuff so that we can be reminded, because, you know, we had that beach episode last week. So you're going to have to be reminded of everything that's happening and that has happened ever throughout the series that has to do with anything that's happening in this episode, because you probably will have forgotten.
Cause at one point I was like, how many months are we waiting for Hawks? You know, he told him about the bad guys are coming.
Like, oh, four months.
Yeah. Four months. And they revisit that, like, oh, we got 4 months.
Yeah. Yeah, so. There's a lot of just, like, it's not like a quarter of the episode in one chunk is recaps. Yeah. It's just pieces throughout that are just recaps of stuff that we already know, that we've already seen, literally using the exact same footage we've already seen, just as a sort of flashback reminder of stuff. I don't know.
Despite that, I can't remember the last time a My Hero episode had this much like solid emotional drama going on just with the Endeavor family alone.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was good.
The drama's good.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, it makes me want to drop this show even more than I have because it has reminded me of how good it could have been this whole time.
Yep.
It could have all been this good.
I'm having a more positive spin on it, but...
And also the opening song sucks. That's my only other note.
Yeah, that's not a good song.
It's garbage.
The opening song for Edaten, though, we both like.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about that. Yeah. The opening and the ending, we like both of them. Yeah,
both pretty good. Yeah.
Both pretty good songs. Yeah.
So there you go. All right, moving on. It brings us to the Duke of Death and his maid.
The Duke of Death and his maid. Shinigami Bochan Tokuro Maid. Episodes 2-4 is what we got here. I don't have a whole lot to say about it. I sort of covered what it was about in week one. And really all I've got is that it's enjoyable to watch. There hasn't been any major developments in plot that I would need to recap or tell you anything about. It's actually slightly sweeter than I thought it was going to be. Like the relationship that's forming between them has this sweetness about it. It's just very nice. And it does still have that touch of H-E in it, that we knew it was going to have, but it's still all very justified. Although, you know, like you always complain about the camera being a pervert and forcing you to be a pervert.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess this show does it, but all of the times that it does it, it's his POV. It's our main character's POV. And what we're being shown isn't being shown to us. It's being shown to him, to make him uncomfortable, which it does.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. There's some joy in that.
Yeah. I think that's justified because it's tying into the whole premise of, you know, he can't touch anyone, so therefore he can only look, right?
Right, right. You
know, that
and
makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. It's fun, and yeah, the relationship, the romance, I guess. Might be pushing it to call it romance, but there is a bit of romance in there. It's actually quite sweet.
Nice.
I like the show.
I'm pleasant surprise.
I'm gonna keep watching it unless it really goes out of bounds, but I don't see that happening. So
okay,
yeah.
Well, that brings me to very similar notes I probably have on Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, which
I don't know. Has this got the sweetness?
Oh yeah. Oh, it definitely does. Yeah, and it's a pervy comedy, and but it does have that sweetness. Like I never watched Slime 300. But I followed it week to week as you were telling me about it last season. And it sounds to me similar, in a sense to Miss Kobayashi, because it's essentially about having this family unit and you keep having more and more characters show up that kind of at first are against, you know, a dragon living with a human. But then they find in themselves that they are attracted to that. Like they want to be part of this family and they're won over by the bond that they share. And so
That sounds the same.
Yeah. And so they inevitably do become, and so we have this new character who has giant breasts, blah blah blah, yada yada, and there's some pervy stuff that happens there, but at the end of the day it's all about her being won over by Miss Kobayashi and, you know, finding her place in their family. And there's still like certain minor characters who I don't like their interactions. It's just a dumb joke that they keep doing. And there's other shows, like if you listen to our last episode, we dropped several things, but Uramichi Onisan and whatever the other one was, but just doing the same gag over and over without like doing anything else.
Yeah.
And this show does a lot of the same gags over and over, but it does more than that too. And it keeps me back with laughs, but also with the heartfelt family dynamic. And that's all I have to really say about it.
I was trying to figure out what the other show was, because I remember us talking about that.
Oh, yes.
It might not be one that I watched.
Oh, I think Black Company. That's the one it was.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
So yeah, you got to give me a little bit more, and Miss Kobayashi does it for me. Like, I don't see myself dropping it, but it's also not an amazing show that I have to highly recommend. But if you find it funny and you like the characters, then that's kind of all you need. And I'm strapped in.
All right. Well, and I think I'm supposed to talk about Love Life Superstar next.
That's correct.
Right? Oh, I got it right. I'm predicting the future, you guys. Yeah, so Love Live Superstar, episodes 1 through 3. Yeah, I mean, it starts off with your standard school idol plot, slightly unique twist on the reason that the character is involved in it. I don't know, do I need to not spoil that? No, probably not. She gets nervous and basically can't sing in front of other people.
Oh.
And, yeah, I think it's important that I spoil that because at the beginning of the second episode, I had to stop it and go back and rewatch the end of the first episode because I'm like, I clearly missed something because one of the first things she says at the beginning of the second episode is, I did it. I finally sang in front of people and I didn't, you know, pass out or whatever it was that happened to her before. And I was like, when did that happen? So I went back and I watched the end of the episode and I'm like, it doesn't happen. And then it goes into the end credits, and in the end credits I had stopped watching them the first time that I watched it because it shows spoilers for who's going to be joining the club.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch it, but this time I watched it all the way through, and yeah, there's scenes where like there's these other members who are not members of the club yet, singing along with her. Hmm. And then like at the very end of it, it's just her, I guess she was imagining it, or something. And she's singing by herself in the street. And then she's all like, ah, I did it. So it weird. Makes sense, but it was, I don't know. And episode 2 had a similar ending where it, you know, went into this thing with showing other members of the idol group who are not yet members of the idol group, but it also had story implications.
Oh, wow. So you have to watch that stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, the spoilers are in the opening credits too. So, you know, no big deal, I guess, but
yeah, just further cementing it in your mind.
It just seems weird the way it's being presented to me.
So are you getting this new story stuff? Like post ending credits, or is it like part of the ending credits?
Part of the ending credits. Wow. Like, well, during the first episode, like she's just, I don't remember exactly what the conversation is that happens, but she's like, no, I can't join the idol group because I can't sing in front of people. And then she changes her mind and goes back and talks to the girl and says, oh, I'm going to try or whatever. Mm. And then she goes running off into like the city streets or whatever. And then the credits come up and we've got the full idol group that doesn't yet exist singing this song. And then a couple of cut scenes of her just sort of walking through the streets singing by herself, which is the reality of what happens, I guess. But I don't know. It's a little bit of a mess, I think.
Sounds like a reverie.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. She's just lost. And then that's how she manages to sing. Anyway, yeah. So the unique twist was that, you know, she wasn't able to sing in front of other people and like she had to overcome that somehow. And so beginning of episode 2, done, fixed.
Super easy.
Yeah. Barely an inconvenience. Anyway, and so now it's basically just a standard idol show. I didn't get to episode 3. But in episode 2's notes, I said, I'm going to give it one more to wow me in some way, or it's going to go away.
Uh-oh. And you're that's coming from a Love Live fan.
I'm a fan of the original Love Live, the second one, which I forget what it was even called.
There's Sunshine, but I don't know. That's the third one, maybe?
I think that's the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Love Live Sunshine. Yeah, that one didn't impress me from the get-go, and didn't. And this one looks like it's probably going the same way. The main character reminded me of Hinoka from the original Love Live a little bit, and I care more about the setup of this story than I did about Love Live Sunshine's setup. I don't know. Yeah, it's gotta do something. I already know everyone that's going to be in the group. We've already met them. We just don't know that they're, you know, going to be in the group.
Yeah. Yet. Sounds like, yeah, they're exposing that to the audience too much. Like,
yeah. And like the animation is, I was saying that I talked about this before, but I didn't, cause this is episode 1 through 3. So yeah, when I talked about it before, that was in the Lost episode. So anything that I referenced where I talked about this show before doesn't exist. but anyway, the characters are likable enough. The art style is pretty standard for, you know, a Love Live show. The animation quality is fairly mediocre and the music is decent. I mean, music is sort of an important factor in these shows and it's decent. I like it better than the music from Sunshine, which I didn't really care for. This is, it's more like the original Love Live, but it's still removed enough that it's, I don't know, it's got to prove itself a little bit.
Okay.
It hasn't done a good job of that so far.
Well, that brings us to our final show this episode, which is a show we're both watching, To Your Eternity.
To Your Eternity.
Woohoo! Yeah, I like this show. It's had ups and downs for me, really high highs and then some boring parts. And this is kind of a boring part. We're on this prison island. Fushi is separated from Pyoran, who he learns is has a criminal past, and he's being forced to battle in this Colosseum because whoever wins the Colosseum battle becomes the leader, but then they all get killed shortly afterwards, and he's immortal, so it shakes everything up there, and there's new characters they've introduced, but the shows have this setup of, like, introduce new character, you don't care at first, then you fall in love, then they kill him off. I'm not yet to the caring about the new characters yet.
Yeah.
But are you quite caught up on this one? Are you...
Two of the three that I was supposed to watch.
Okay, so you haven't seen the latest one.
Correct.
Which, yeah, I won't spoil any of that, but it definitely, plot-wise, is important, but emotionally, meh. So I won't get too much into that till you're caught up, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so episode 13, when it came back this season after having taken a week off in week one of this season, it was pretty obvious that there was a battle arc coming up, and... you know, it was still at that point the best show of the summer.
Yeah.
Well. But you know, we've gotten a couple other good shows since then as well. And right now it's just sort of in a lull. And then, yeah, my impressions on the second episode were, yeah, battle arc.
Yeah.
And like he's like, no, I don't want to do this. And like tries to leave and then conveniently gets picked up and dropped by an eagle right back into the battle. And just stupid, stupid stuff.
He can now turn into a mole.
Yeah, a little naked mall rat or something. I don't know.
That reminds me of Bill Nye the Science Guy. There's a whole episode where it's like, naked mall rats!
Ah! Oh, really? It reminds me of Kim Possible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I remember that. Because naked mall rat.
Oh, it's part of Kim Possible?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if they stole it from Bill Nye.
Maybe.
Interesting.
Definitely predated it.
I forget the name of it's. I think it's Ron Stoppable's pet is a naked mole rat.
Oh, really?
Is his name Rufus? I don't know. It's been a long time since I've seen that show. Like, it's been a long time. Any Kim Possible fans out there? Get at us on the socials.
I can edit in some crickets if we need. Martin Short's really good at doing a cricket sound.
I mean, you need multiple crickets, really.
Yeah.
Not just a single cricket.
That's true. Yeah. But a single cricket will get the point across.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's all I have to add about To Your Eternity. We got five more episodes after this latest one until it's done. And so I'm hoping they got something interesting to end on. I don't know. So we'll see. But yeah.
And then I guess we should mention Fruits Basket. I think we had said at the back in week one that we were going to be watching that, and we are still watching it. It's going to be next week. We're going to cover the whole first season because of the weeks we had off, and because this week is kind of heavy with having like three episodes of every show to cover.
After we've dropped eight shows, it feels a bit lighter.
Yeah. We're going to push it back a week, and next week, we're going to cover all of season one. So if you're looking for that, that's where that'll be.
Yeah. And I feel good about that. I'll just cover the whole season and,
yeah, it seems like the way we should have planned to do it from the beginning, actually.
Probably.
Like full season. I mean, it sort of makes sense to do, like, because the first season is 26 episodes, which spans across two anime seasons, right? So it sort of makes sense to do 13, 13, 13, 13.
Yeah.
But Yeah, 26, 13 is fine too.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, we'll make
it
work.
We can squeeze in some other special things maybe in between those. But yeah, that I think that wraps us up for this episode.
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to think what else. What else is there? No, yeah, that's about it. As I mentioned moments ago, you can find us on the socials and say things to us about things that we have said or things that you want to say, or I don't know, there should be a third thing to make it funny, but I can't think of anything. So you can find us on all the socials at Umlike Anime. That's UMLIKEANIME. We love to hear from you guys. I think I've got my Twitter alerts set up correctly now. So if you tweet at us, I will hopefully see it. If I don't, then just come over to my house and knock on my door, I guess, and be like, hey, dude, I tweeted at you and you didn't respond.
It's one way to do it.
Google. I didn't even say Google this time. What are you doing? Oh, my God. Google.
Now downloading.
Are you guys enjoying the Olympics? I don't know. Google has thrown me off now.
We're on Patreon. We're
oh yeah, yeah. All of those things. This episode has gone too long, and we're just gonna end it after George says goodnight or goodbye. Which one are you gonna say? Goodnight or goodbye?
Au revoir.
All right, so the episode's not over because he didn't say one of the two things that I said that he had to say because he, you know.
Buenas noches. Good night and goodbye. Good evening. Good tidings. We love you.
Konbanwa.
Hi.
Oyasuminasai.
Yeah, baby.